You know, one of the things that we see in the Bible, a command that Jesus Christ gives us, different places in the Bible, is to watch and pray. We see that. Let's look at one example of that in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And let's begin reading in verse 33. And these are the words of Christ. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What God has said is going to take place in this world, the prophecies of that have been given through the prophets, and of course the Bible is one-third of the Bible is prophecy, we know. And a lot of that is for our day and time. So what God has said is going to come to pass. Now, some people in the world, they don't take that very seriously. I remember one time, I believe it was 60 Minutes, and I was watching, and they were interviewing a presidential candidate. This was many years ago. And he was one that he claimed to be a Christian, and he talked about the Bible, and the interviewer asked him, said, well, you really don't believe in all the Bible, do you? I mean, parts of it surely can't be true. And of course, he did say, yes, I believe in the whole Bible, but some don't. But what God has said will come to pass. Continuing in verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life. And we do have cares of this life. We have things that we have to deal with, and the trials and the tests and the difficulties that come up. But he says here to take heed to yourselves, that day will not come upon you unexpectedly. One of the things, if anything, that I think stands out with all that has happened since March is that how quickly things can happen. How quickly just something like a virus can just shut the whole world down, disrupt our lives. And it happened very quickly, very quickly. Continuing, Jesus said, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So, you know, the times ahead before Christ returns, it's going to really affect Jacob. The Bible talks about Jacob's trouble. They're going to be hit hard. But it's going to affect the whole earth. Jesus said in verse 36, he said, watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, they will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So watch, therefore, and pray. We are to have that close relationship with God. Mr. Sinan talked about Nehemiah in his sermonette. And that's so important, to be close to God, to have that daily contact with God through prayer, through Bible study. It is so important. But what does it mean to watch? Does it mean to just watch current events in the news? What does it mean to watch? Dictionary.com defines the word watch. And I like this definition here because it'll go along with what I'm talking about today. It says to keep awake. And then it adds, especially for a purpose. You know, God has told us to watch, and there's a reason for that. We know that the Bible, God's opened our minds to understand the truth, we understand the identity of Israel, who the Israelites are, and that just opens up the understanding of the prophecies in the Bible. But we realize there's a purpose. We understand what God is doing. We understand how he's working with us and his purpose for working with us. So to keep awake, especially for a purpose. The definition continues, to remain vigilant, to be alert. The Greek word for translated watch in the New Testament, it basically means to watch, to keep awake, to be circumspect, or that means to be careful. You know, sometimes you use the phrase, you know, watch your step, you know, which means to be careful, to keep awake, to be attentive, to be ready, and to be cautious. So when you read the definition there of the word watch, it has to do with more. It's a much broader subject than just watching for world events. Yes, that's important. What I'd like to do in the sermon today is I'd like for us to look at four aspects of being watchful. Four aspects of being watchful. Four ways the command to watch and pray can be applied to our Christian lives. I want to look at those this afternoon. Number one, watching or being circumspect or careful to repent and obey. We realize that when God called us, He opened our minds, that we didn't just come as we are, as the old Protestant song says, come as you are, but God called us to change. He opened our minds to help us to see that, you know, we were going the wrong path, and to turn from that path, to turn from that sin, and to turn to God. When Jesus was preaching, he went about in the towns and the villages, and he talked about repentance. He said, repent and believe the gospel. It requires changing and turning from our wrong ways. And of course, that takes place over a lifetime. We've, you know, many of you here, and myself included, we've been a part of God's church for many years. And, you know, there's still things that we have to repent of. There's still changes that we have to make. There's still things that we're working on in our life. It's very important to repent. And of course, God wants us to be very careful, to be watchful that we are obeying Him. And we see that throughout the Bible. I want to begin with Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalms 119. And David wrote this, and the longest chapter in the Bible, talks a lot about God's law. And David is described as a man after God's own heart. He certainly knew what God expected. And in the kingdom, we know that he's going to be resurrected. He's going to have a very high position in God's kingdom, and he will teach God's law. But let's read what he said here in Psalms 119. Let's just begin reading here. We'll read, first of all, verses 1 through 4. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, and who walk in the law of the Lord as a way of life. That's the way of life that we are to walk, in obedience to God's law. Love to God, love to neighbor. Keeping the commandments of God. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies and who seek Him with the whole heart. And we see that throughout this chapter. David talks a lot about being wholehearted. David was wholehearted. He put his whole being into obeying God and trying to do things God's way. And even when he repented, we have the examples. He put his heart into that. It was real repentance. But doing something wholehearted requires watching, being careful, looking out, being alert. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. To do something diligently requires watching, being alert, being careful. Let's skip down to verse 9 of this chapter. David said, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word. In other words, taking heed involves watching, being careful, being alert, being vigilant. But to God's word. You want to turn your life around? As he asked the question here, how can a young man cleanse his way to turn his life around, to get on the right path? Is watching and being careful to walk according to and taking heed to God's word. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Well, you know, if we don't want to wander off on the wrong path, it requires watching, being alert, looking out, being careful to make sure we are staying on that right path. Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart. So he really was careful to learn God's word, to internalize it. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, sin is against God. He didn't want to sin. He didn't want to do the wrong thing. So he was careful. He was watchful to make sure that he was living his life and walking according to God's commandments. And that's so important for all of us as well. Let's go to the New Testament and look at Matthew, the fourth chapter. Matthew chapter 4, and of course here's the example of Jesus Christ as he had been fasting and praying and he was going to be tempted by the devil. And even this example, I think, teaches us this lesson. Jesus Christ didn't just go in there without any preparation or thinking that he could just handle this. No, he was very careful to make sure that he spent time with God. He knew he was going to need God's help. And so he took the time to fast and to pray, to be close to God. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Here he was. His first temptation was to tempt him with food, knowing that he was very hungry after having gone that long a time without food or water. But Jesus Christ was very careful. In verse 4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. By every word. So when you're reading the Bible and you see the wording, all my commandments, all my ways, living by every word, that involves watching and being careful in our life to make sure that we are doing that. As Jesus mentions here, we don't live by bread alone, talking about the physical food. I think probably all of us are very careful and watchful to make sure that we have our physical food. People are very careful, you know, 3 meals a day. 12 o'clock, that's lunchtime. And we're very careful to make sure that we have that planned out, that we take the time to eat. Our stomach lets us know when we're thirsty, when we're hungry. And we're careful about that. Well, even more, we should be careful about living by every word of God, as Jesus brings out here, because our life depends on it. Just as our physical life depends on the physical food, our spiritual life, our eternal life depends on living by every word of God. But it requires watching. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. And here, the pages preceding this chapter, from chapter 20 on, we know that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And then, the pages following that, he began to go into explaining through the statutes and the judgments, you know, how to apply God's law in different situations. And He talked about situations that would come up, and here's how to apply it. Here's how to apply God's law to that situation. Here's how do you to handle it. And there was a lot of these statutes and judgments, and then there was the commandments that they were to teach to the people. They were to live by. But notice what God says here to Israel through Moses in Exodus 23 and in verse 13. He said, "And in all that I have said to you, in all that I have said to you, be circumspect," or be careful. Be careful to follow those instructions. You know, don't deviate from it. Don't try to do it your way. But be careful. Be watchful to do what I have said. As he continues here in this verse, he says, "And make no mention of the name of other gods, or nor let it be heard from your mouth." And then he went through to give the instructions on keeping the feast, the feast days. And he makes mention here of not mentioning the names of other gods, and he told them to be careful. And one of the things about Israel that we know, one of the that we see from their example, is they were not careful in following God's commands, were they? They were not careful at all. They would go into a land, and God said, "Don't learn their ways. Don't get mixed up with them. Don't intermarry with them." And yet they didn't listen. They weren't careful to follow those instructions. Two of the things that Israel had a big problem with was idols. The very thing God said, "Don't do that," was idols. Getting mixed up in the religions and of these other lands. And also, he told them to be careful to keep the Sabbath holy. And they were not careful about doing that. Sabbath breaking and idols were two of their big problems that they had. But God told them, "All that I have said to you, be careful, be watchful, that you do the things that I have said." Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. The world we're living in today is certainly, we know Satan has done a very good job at deceiving this world and the religions of the world. And so many, they're not careful about doing things God's way. They come up with their own. One of the largest churches in the world, their big thing is not necessarily the scriptures, but tradition is what they focus on. The traditions, what we have come up with, our way of doing things. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we'll just read a few of these verses here that's in this chapter. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16, Moses was saying, inspired by God, he said, "Take heed to yourselves." You see that phrase a lot. You know, be careful. You know, watch yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Well, they were not careful to do that, were they? You read about their example. They were not careful about doing that. Notice verse 18. "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand." And when you bind something, if you're tying something down or binding it, you tie it or bind it tight so that it doesn't get loose or it doesn't get away. You know, God meant for them to hold on to this truth. Be careful. To be watchful. "Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house." And notice as you read through this, just what logic would tell us here, it requires being watchful, being careful, being diligent, being alert. When you sit in your house, And you have an opportunity and you're sitting in your house, teach them to your children. When you walk by the way, oh, here's an opportunity. See, we're alert to those types of things. Here's an opportunity to teach my children about God's way. We're careful to do that. We're watchful. And when you lie down and when you rise up, you see the carefulness, the watchfulness that's there to make sure that we do these things. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Verse 22, for if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to hold fast to him. And even that, when you read that, you can just see it's going to require diligence. It's going to require watching, to be alert, to be careful. When I was preparing this sermon, I was just amazed at how many times you see references to being careful. Take heed to yourselves. Be watchful. It's all through the Bible. For if you carefully keep these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to hold fast to him. And then he goes on to talk about the blessings that will take place in your life. But he also brings out that if you don't, things are not going to work out. And of course, Israel learned that lesson, and hopefully we see that, and we can avoid that by doing what God tells us to do, by taking heed to ourselves and carefully paying attention to what God tells us to do. Let's go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And here Paul discusses the subject of repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we all, in our life, we all have to repent. And we want to make sure that we are careful to do that, that we realize that when we sin, when we sometimes maybe we get in a bad attitude and we say things or do things that we shouldn't, well, we need to repent of that. We're careful to do that. And you know, there's a purpose for that. We realize what God is doing, how he's working with us. He's the master potter. We're the clay. He's working with us. He has big plans for us. We're to be growing in his character, to become like him. And so Paul talks about repentance here. Let's begin here in verse 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. They realized, and they were sorry for the things they had done and the way they were acting, and they were sorry that it led to real repentance. They wanted to turn from that. And Paul commended them for it because they did turn from that wrong way, and they really did repent of that, as he brings out here in this chapter. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Because there's no real repentance involved in that. But notice what he says here in verse 11, as he begins to list some of the fruits of repentance. Fruits of real repentance. What real repentance will bring about in our life. And being watchful really is a fruit of true repentance. As he brings out here, he said, for observe this very thing that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you. The old King James Version says, what carefulness it produced in you. In other words, we're diligent, we're careful, we're watchful, we're alert to make sure that we don't go back and do that same thing again that we repented of. We're careful about that. If someone's an alcoholic, well, they're not going to stop by Joe's bar every afternoon on the way home from work. They realize, no, that is just, that would be too big of a temptation. Why would I put myself in that situation? They don't even want to drive by Joe's Bar. They drive around the other way. We stay away from that. We're careful that we, whatever it is that we've had to repent of, what led to that, we're careful. We're watchful to make sure that we stay away from that. And then one final scripture on this point, Titus chapter 3. The book of Titus chapter 3. Read what Paul here writes to Titus chapter 3. And verse 8. Paul writes, "For this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly." So Paul here, there were certain things he was bringing out to Titus, that is a minister. There's certain things that you want to make sure that you're careful to, and you're watchful in making sure you bring out these things, that you teach these things. "That those who have believed in God," and we do, we believe in God. We know He exists, and we know the Bible is His inspired word. "But you who have believed in God should be careful, watchful, alert, to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." We're careful. We realize what God wants to see in our life, how He wants us to be living our life. We're careful to make sure that we're doing that. Let's look at another aspect of watching. And this is one I think that in the times we're living in is so important. Is watching or being on guard for enemy attacks. And we do have an enemy. We know that. We have an enemy. Satan is effective at influencing humans to sin. He's very effective. We can just look around and see. He started with the first human beings. And he was very effective at what he did. He's very effective at influencing humans to sin because humans are generally unsuspecting of his attacks. He's invisible. He has many devices. He's very intelligent. He can influence people. He's the spirit and the power of the air. He can stir up things. He's very effective at it. Well, I think logic would tell us if you have had an enemy that was very effective, we would want to be watchful. We would want to be on guard for his attacks. As Peter tells us, the scripture we're familiar with, 1 Peter 5 and I think verse 8, he's our enemy. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. When you know that you have an enemy and his goal is to devour you, to destroy you. He doesn't want you, me, or anyone to have eternal life. And in God's church, you would be his prime target. Would you think that it would certainly be something we'd want to be watchful for, we'd want to be alert to in our life? Well, certainly. Soldiers, we know, have to be alert. You think about a soldier today. Maybe he's stationed in the Middle East, around Syria or Iraq, somewhere along close to Iran, knowing what kind of enemy Iran is, knowing about Syria, or maybe you're in South Korea and you know just across the border what that enemy is like, what they would do if they had the opportunity. Do you think he would want to just go over there with his rifle and put his rifle down and sit under the tree and, you know, sleep for a few hours while he's on duty? Well, no, I don't think he would. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul uses the analogy here of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy Chapter 2. Beginning in verse 3, he said, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs, or you could say the distractions of this life. It requires being watchful. It requires being alert to the enemy. We're living in a time when there's so many distractions in the world, so many. But we can't afford to let our guard down. So important to be watchful. So no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." You know, he's focused on what God wants, what God expects, what God has told him to do, the way God wants us to live. That's what he's focused on. And he realizes there's an enemy there. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul talks about Satan in several places in this book. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think we read a while back in chapter 2 where he talked about we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. One of the things that in the military, if you've ever read any autobiographies of military leaders or books about wars that have taken place, one of the things is they want to get to know their enemy. What is their enemy like? What capabilities does their enemy have? What's he like? What would he do? How does he operate? Because they want to be alert, be watchful, be on guard. They want to know that enemy. And so Paul reminds us, and the Bible tells us how Satan operates, that we're not ignorant of his devices. But here, what Paul brings out here in chapter 11, in verse 3, he goes back to how effective Satan was in deceiving and leading the first human beings away from God and his way of life and the things that God had told them to do. God had told them to be careful, to obey him. You can have a partake of any tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you got to stay away from that. Well, Satan tried to work with them to try to do the very thing that God had said not to do. And they were not careful to do that. Satan was able to deceive them. He was able to put thoughts in their minds and influence them to do that, to do the very thing that God had said not to do. Well, Paul reminds us here that Satan is still able to do that today. And Paul, he had some concerns for the brethren here. He said, verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve," he says, lest somehow. He realized Satan has many tricks up his sleeve. He's got many devices that he can use. "Lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And then he goes on to talk about, well, if they come preaching another Jesus. Another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. Satan has deceived the world to picturing the Son of God as kind of a feminine-looking guy with long hair. You know, God says a man shouldn't wear long hair. But the Bible, you know, Satan, he can really work on people and influence people to think, oh, that's okay. That's really how he looked. And we see it all around us. But he deceives through religion, as he goes on to bring out there. Let's look at James chapter 1, back in the book of James chapter 1. And see what James has to say. James chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 12, James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, and that's what we want. He resists the temptation, keeps moving forward, careful to live the way God wants us to live, careful to stay close to God, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, or he's lured. Once again, Satan has many tricks up his sleeve. He can, well, if this doesn't work, I'll try something else. I was thinking about this when I was reading this scripture this past week when I was fishing. We floated down the Indian Creek there in just below Neosho, Missouri, and it run into the Elk River, and it was kind of a swift river, and it was kind of low in places. We'd get to a nice deep hole, and we thought, oh, there's a good fishing hole, so we'd pull over, and the water was so clear, you could see the fish. There was some big bass just, and there was one, and I was looking there. I had waded out in the water, and I could just see a couple of nice-sized bass there. They were just sitting there. And we were fishing with artificial worms to begin with. And I threw it out and was reeling. And I tried to just reel it as close as I could in front of him. And that bass just didn't move. He wasn't interested in that artificial worm. And we all had those artificial worms. So after a while, I said, well, I'm going to try something else. They're not biting these worms today. So I got one of the little beetles, just a little white lure. It's got a hook in it. Yeah, a little. It's kind of fuzzy on part of it. And it's got a little plastic thing at the end of it that wiggles back and forth when you pull it through the water. And I've had good luck with that before. And I started throwing that out there. Began to get some bites. They didn't want the worm, so maybe they'll try a beetle, and they like the beetle. Well, that's the way Satan operates. You know, drawn away. See, that's what he wants to do, is to draw us away. And that's why God tells us to be careful. To be watchful in your life. Be on guard for the enemy. He's out to destroy you. He wants to draw you away. And he will try. He'll try to lure you. To entice you. Verse 15. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Realize that's the way he operates. The way he operates. Matthew chapter 26. We have the account of something Jesus pointed out to the disciples. Matthew chapter 26. We need to remember, Satan knows our weaknesses. And we all have weaknesses. We have our strengths, we have our weaknesses. And Matthew chapter 26, Jesus knew that his hour was coming to be crucified, and he wanted to take some time and pray to his Father, and he asked the disciples to watch and pray with him. He knew the enemy could show up, and whereas it was getting late, and they had had the big Passover meal, and you know what happens when you've had a big meal, and it's getting late, and it's hard to stay awake, and well, you have to fight it, and that's what was happening with them. But Jesus would come back, and he found them sleeping. In verse 41, he says, watch and pray. We need God's help to do the right thing. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And he pointed out to them that the spirit indeed is willing. We want to do the right thing. But he pointed out to them, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And Satan, our enemy, is not of flesh and blood. He's a powerful spirit being, as Paul describes in Ephesians 6 and other places. We need God's help. We need to be watching. We need to be alert. And we need to be praying and asking God for his help and for his guidance. As Mr. Sinan was talking about Nehemiah, it's one of my favorite books. When you read that book, and the miracles that God intervened for Nehemiah. And of course, Nehemiah gave him credit for it. The good hand of God that was up on me, as he mentioned several times in that chapter. So we have to watch for and be on guard for those enemy attacks. Number three is to be watching for prophetic fulfillment. It is important. We do have a knowledge of the future obtained from prophecy. God has inspired the prophets of old to give us and talk about events that will take place, and many of them will take place in the end time. And Christ said we should be watching and praying and preparing for his coming. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're living in very interesting times. And we do need to, as God's people, to be careful to follow what Christ has said, to take heed to what he has said, to be watching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's begin in verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Once again, what we are going through now should really motivate us and wake us up to realize things can happen very quickly. Events could take place very quickly. And we don't want to be caught off guard. What's happening in the world is there's so much, even in religion, they don't have the truth. They think that Christians are going to be raptured away. Just one day, all of a sudden, you'd be in a shopping mall and, whew, look at there, she went up, and you didn't. You're in bad shape if you didn't. But it doesn't match up with what the Bible says. But Christ warns us here through Paul that events can take place so quickly. It could come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. You know, there are things happening in Europe right now, and we know that there is going to be a union that's going to come about in Europe, the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. It's going to be 10 nations. They're not going to be really unified. It's the feet of iron and clay. There's going to be some weakness there, but they will be a powerful union. And the world is going to think, wow, look at this. This is the answer here. They're going to think they're great. They're going to turn to them, not to us. But when we see those things happening, and you see on the news, and maybe they might talk about, oh, this is great. Europe is coming together. The United States thinks it's great because we won't have to support them anymore. Let them be a powerful nation. Let them defend themselves. But when those things start happening, brethren, it should really trigger us to realize, well, the Bible has said that's going to happen, but it's not going to be a good thing. It's going to lead to some bad things. It's not going to be good for us in the end. But we need to be watching. It's hard to find any news about Europe. And I look at the Minneapolis paper, and very seldom do they have anything in there about the European Union. It's all about COVID-19 and sometimes what's happening in the city and President Trump and Joe Biden and all that. Very little. Nobody's paying attention to what's happening in Europe, but God wants us to be alert to what's going on. I was listening to a commentary a while back, and they were talking about Europe. They were talking about Europe, and it's what they're wanting to do is come together and be a powerful union. Well, what nation would be the best one to really be at the head? And it was unanimous. Germany. We know those things. And when we see those things happening, we realize, well, It's coming together. It's coming together. So Paul goes on here. He talks about verse 3. People are going to think, oh, things are going well. But we realize, no, it's not going to stay that way. It's going to get worse. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, self-controlled. Let us be watching for world events. Peter talks about in the last days there's going to be scoffers, kind of making fun of, oh, look at all the things that church has said, and none of it's coming to pass. There's going to be scoffers. Well, when we hear that, we realize God has told us there's going to be scoffers in the end time. We know that is going to happen. Matthew 24, we'll turn just see here something that Jesus mentions. Matthew 24. We know the story of Noah and the years that Noah was preaching and building the ark. People were not paying attention. There's no flood going to come. But they were wrong. And so Jesus compares the end time before his return to the days of Noah. Verse 37, but as of the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son. Will also be the coming of the Son of Man be. People are going to be caught off guard. But what God has told his people is don't be caught off guard. Be watching. Be praying. Be alert to what's going on in the world and around you. The fourth and final one is watching our spiritual condition or our state of readiness. Brethren, I want you to think about something, and I'm saying this to myself too. What is your state of readiness right now? Are you ready? Are you ready? Am I ready? I think that's a very important question. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 2 and 3, God gives us, there's seven messages to seven churches. These were actual churches on a mail route. The church has long taught that each one of these churches represent an era in the church of God. From the beginning at Ephesus all the way to the end of the last era of the church would be Laodicean era. But when he describes the Laodicean church, it's not good. And I think one of the things we see is they were not alert. They were taking it easy. They were comfortable. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. And I could wish that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, they're just comfortable. It's like sitting in a relaxing, warm bath, taking it easy, relaxing. And that's basically what that was their condition spiritually. They were not ready. He said, I don't know you. I don't know where you stand. And they had to go through some very difficult trials to hopefully wake them up and to realize, I should have been watching my spiritual condition. I should have been watching my spiritual condition because I wasn't ready. God wants us to be ready. The parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25. 5 were foolish. And 5 were wise. They were careful. They were watchful to make sure that their lamps were full of oil, symbolic of God's Spirit, through daily prayer. through daily Bible study. But the others, they had a little bit of oil. They were good people. They were virgins. But they weren't ready. And they went to try to get oil, but the time had run out for them to be ready. Time had run out for them to be ready. Let's look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Here's an interesting story, a parable. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. This will be the last scripture we'll read. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Well, that's disappointing, isn't it? You expect if you have a big fig tree in your backyard or on your property, you want it to be filled with figs. And that tree is useless if it doesn't have any fruit on it. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none." For 3 years. It's a lot of time. That tree is just sitting there. You know, I think when we read this parable, it's good to give some thought to ourselves. We can go along year after year. We can come to church and we can sit. But you know, the thing is God knows, is are we bearing fruit that he wants to see? Are we living the kind of lives that he wants us to live? Are we ready? Are we ready? And so he said, "Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it." You know, let me have another chance. Brethren, God is so merciful, so gracious, so forgiving. He's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth and on down. But like the foolish virgins, that, you know, we have to at some point get serious, or that we're going to find ourselves in a similar situation where time has run out. And I think that's a good question. Am I ready? What is my state of readiness? Are we watching our spiritual lives? So he said, "Let it alone this year also, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. But if it bears fruit, well, good. Took care of the problem. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." You know, God gives us time, and he works with us. And he wants to help us to turn our lives around. But he's not going to force us. He gives us the job to choose. Well, this afternoon, we've looked at four aspects of watching. So, brethren, let us watch and pray in all four of these dimensions, because our readiness to meet and serve our Savior and our King depends on it.